coming to you this week from Red Rocks Amphitheater in Morrison, Colorado. It's E-Town on the road with this week's musical guests. From Nashville, Tennessee, Jason Isbell and his fine band, The 400 Unit, plus singer-songwriter Amanda Shires. I'm Helen Forster. Right now, join me in welcoming our host, Nick Forster.
Thanks, Helen. Welcome, everybody. We are back at Red Rocks, another day at one of the most amazing concert venues in the world. As usual, we're backstage, or rather under the stage, in this cavernous space that's part of the crazy facility nestled in between the sheer rock walls that make Red Rocks so iconic and special. In fact, we're not too far away from the secret tunnel that goes from the backstage to the front of house mix position where artists like Jimi Hendrix and the Beatles signed the wall. That's all back here. It's a crazy, remarkable place, and we're happy to be back here. We're also happy to be here this week because we have been waiting for a long time to welcome our first guest this week to E-Town. Jason Isbell grew up in rural northern Alabama, not far from the Tennessee line. He grew up around his grandparents, who loved to listen to the Grand Ole Opry and play and sing bluegrass and gospel songs on their front porch. He started playing music as a teenager. And by the time he was 21, he was writing songs for the legendary Fame Studios in Muscle Shoals. And at 22, he joined the band The Drive-By Truckers. After 6 years with that band, he went out on his own, becoming one of the most successful singer-songwriters around, winning Grammy Awards, and actually his fifth solo record debuted at number one on a few different charts. His new one is called The Nashville Sound, and it's just him with his band, The 400 Unit. And that's who he's here with right now. So let's go to the stage right above us and listen to one of the best songwriters around, Jason Isbell.
I'm a white man living in a white man's world. Under our roof is a baby girl. I thought this world would be hers one day. But her mama knew better. I'm a white man living in a white man's town. I wanna take a shot of cocaine and burn it down. Maybe it's the fire in our little girl's eyes. Maybe gets the fire in that little girl's eyes. Thank you very much. Thank you for listening. That's Amanda Shires playing the fiddle and singing with me on that song. Sidewalk's dirty and the river is worse. The underground trains all run in reverse. Nobody here can dance like me. Everybody's clapping on the one and the three. Am I the last of my kind? Am I the last of my kind? So many people with so much to do. The winter's so cold, your hands turn blue. Old men sleeping on the filthy ground. They spend their whole day just walking around. And nobody else here seems to care. They walk right past them like they ain't even there. Am I the last of my kind? Am I the last of my kind? And Daddy said the river would always lead me home. But the river can't take you back in time. And Daddy's dead and gone. And the family farm's a parking lot for Walton's 5 and 9. Am I the last of my kind? Am I the last of my kind? Tried to go to college, but I didn't belong. Everything I said was either funny or wrong. And they laughed at my boots, laughed at my jeans, laughed when they gave me amphetamines and left me alone in a bad part of town. 36 hours to come back down. Am I the last of my kind? Am I the last of my kind? Mama says God won't give you too much to bear. Well, that might be true in Arkansas, but I'm a long, long way from there. And that whole world's an old and faded picture in my mind. Am I the last of my kind? 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 Thank you. Thank you.
We're going to take a break and go backstage with Jason Isbell right now. Jason Isbell, welcome to E-Town. Thanks so much for stopping by.
Thanks for having me.
I want to say congratulations. First, headlining a show at Red Rocks is a big deal, and I know you've done it before, but must
Once
feel good.
Once before, not a lot. Not enough to get used to it, that's for sure.
Yeah.
It's great.
Well, you come from another special place, that whole North Alabama, Muscle Shoals area.
Yeah.
That's another special place.
Yeah, I got really lucky to grow up there. Mm-hmm. For example, when I was growing up, when I was a teenager, there weren't bars, you know, because of the laws. You had to have a restaurant. You couldn't have a bar. You had to sell more food than alcohol on the books, which was tough for anybody trying to have a venue, but it was really great for a 15-year-old because they couldn't kick me out, you know.
Okay, so all the clubs were all ages.
Yeah, they had to be.
They were like supper clubs.
They were restaurants with a stage in the back. For me, it made it possible for me to go sit for 4 hours on a Friday night and see David Hood play the bass or Spooner Oldham or, you know.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's definitely something special about it, but I think it has more to do with family bonds than anything else, because me and most of the people that I grew up with learned how to play music from parents or grandparents or uncles and aunts, and, you know, it was something that we all did together to bond rather than to try to make a career.
Well, your song, is it called Something to Love?
Yeah.
That's about being on the porch on a Sunday and all the generations are out and you're all trading songs, listening to the Opry and Great Speckled Bird and Roy Acuff, and it's all in there.
Yeah, we did it. And I mean, I'm 38, so I really generationally, I'm way behind or ahead time-wise of a lot of that music, but my grandparents were really into it. And they didn't do a whole lot of things in a modern way. So we were still listening to, you know, the old Opry stars and bluegrass music and gospel music. And I grew up playing those things. And,
You grew up in the church. And as I understand it, the Church of Christ was no instruments, just singing. And the other church was you could have instruments.
Yeah, they were really polar opposites as far as Christian churches go. Because my grandfather on my dad's side was a preacher at a Pentecostal church, Holiness Church. And they had, you know, electric rock and roll band, basically, you know, electric bass and drums and all that kind of stuff. And then my mom and her family went to a Church of Christ. So when I went with them, it was the same church that the Rogers girls from Secret Sisters went to. So they were already singing beautifully when they were 4, 5, 6 years old.
Little shape note kind of things.
Right? Yeah.
And were those churches integrated?
No, not at all. Now, if you got into Muscle Shoals and Florence, you would have like African Methodist and some of the African American Baptist churches. But where I was in Greenhill, they were just white people.
Yeah.
That was it.
Yeah. Wow. And then how old were you when you started writing songs?
Like, I started playing really early, 6 or 7 years old. But then by the time I was 12 or 13, I started making up lyrics of my own.
Was there a song or an artist or a record or an event or something that just made you think that you could write songs rather than just learn songs? I mean, because it's a switch when that switch gets flipped.
I would probably point at people like Neil Young and Jackson Browne and John Prine, because that's the stuff that my parents had been listening to.
Well, it is in your bones in a way that I think just about, you know, very, very few people have. You're just such a talented writer.
Thank you. You know, I think the talent really comes from, as much as anything else, it comes from enjoyment of actually writing, you know. I never wanted to be a songwriter. I just wanted to write songs. And so I think there's a big difference there.
I got to think about that for a minute.
A lot of people want to be a songwriter, but they don't want to write songs.
Yeah.
Because being a songwriter and somebody's picture of that, or a writer of any kind, is a very romanticized version of the reality, which is, you know, you're in a chair for a long time with nobody but yourself.
Right. By that you mean the romanticized version of, I'm going to be at a string pull at the Bluebird with a bunch of, everybody's going to be paying attention to me. That image of being a songwriter isn't attractive, but the process of doing the work is something that really is satisfying for you.
To me, yes. And I think to a lot of people who actually probably have success as a songwriter.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's a very cool thing to be, you know, to tell people I'm a songwriter, that's what I do, you know, or a writer, a novelist for that matter. It's really easy to get caught up in the idea of, you know, I'm a writer, so I hang out in my bathrobe and smoke cigarettes and drink whiskey and don't do anything on time.
Right.
But the reality of it is you have to face the page and you have to face yourself, and it's a lot of hard work. It's a lot of time solving puzzles.
I get the feeling you don't have much of a choice, that at least especially from songs on this new record, you're bound to react and process and share what you're going through in some way or another.
Yeah, it's good for me. It really helps me explain the world to myself and come to terms with the things that I don't have any control over.
Right. In case you just tuned in, you're listening to E-Town. I'm here with Jason Isbell. The new record, The Nashville Sound, I mean, it kind of starts out with a bang. You know, you are definitely paying attention to current events in ways that not every songwriter does. Is that partly, do you think, because you're now also married and a parent and you're looking at the world through the lens of another generation? Or
maybe so. You know, but there are a lot of people who have kids and wives and husbands and still don't pay much attention to what's going on in the political sphere. I just think that I've always been the kind of person who's been very suspicious of authority and groupthink in general. And so I think I'll probably always be somebody who has issues with the way I'm being represented, you know, on a global scale or on a statewide scale or a citywide scale. But yeah, I do feel more motivation to speak up now that I have a family. Mm-hmm. I think it's probably given me more responsibility to say what I really think.
Mm-hmm. I love the fact that the first song on the record, Am I the Last of My Kind? I mean, it's such skillful writing because you're basically calling out this sort of decaying moral fiber and bad behavior without calling names or sounding aggressive or, you know, it's an artful way of pointing out that things are devolving a little bit out there.
Well, and that's a character speaking also, you know. Yeah. That's not necessarily me. I think really what I'm trying to do is get a handle on the type of person who feels that way.
Yeah.
And at certain points in my life, I have been that person, but it's been a long time because I've traveled a lot. And that has really given me more hope in the way humanity communicates these days. So, you know, there's a part of me that comes from a real small town that was very insulated and protected in certain ways. And when I got out and started seeing the world, it was a shock at first. It took me 3 or 4 visits to New York before I ever enjoyed myself, you know. But I think that's also a perspective that's worth understanding if you're going to understand how everybody communicates and how to bring those people into the conversation, which is very important to me.
And I see you in a way as like a somewhere between a secret agent and a Rosetta Stone. You know, you are a Southern white male from a small town who's gone through some tough times and grew up in the church, and yet you are well-read, well-traveled. You're awake. You're paying attention. And I think you do have, in some ways, a unique way to stimulate dialogue and conversation across these different, you know, ideological divides.
Yeah.
I do think that as a dad, you know, I have, we've got 3 daughters. You've got a daughter who just turned 2. Congratulations
on
that as well.
Thank you.
That changes things, at least for me, that changed my perception and my priorities around issues like climate change. Because I thought, well, man, there's something that is coming. And every time I see a little glimpse, a little bit of some erosion of what I used to take for granted as being a way this world is going to be, and I think about upcoming generations, I feel a pang of responsibility to at least do something, and I don't know what, but that was kind of why we started this show 26 years ago, was to stimulate that dialogue and engage in conversation around things like that.
Yeah, it's motivated me to be more active and to be less afraid of people's reactions and responses to what I have to say. And also being a dad has given me a perspective that I just couldn't have gotten any other way.
Yeah.
You know, I have long since forgotten what it means to really truly learn how to speak. And as somebody who works with language, you know, seeing those patterns from the very start and seeing how they develop and what takes longer and why, it's a real gift. You know, if you're a songwriter and you take the time to pay attention to your kid when he or she is learning how to speak, it's a real gift.
Well, I got to think about that. Also, just that sense of wonder and discovery, which is, of course, what songwriting is all about. It's like, everything is remarkable for the first time.
And and
tapping into that.
Focusing on those details again. And, you know, anything that makes you stop taking those things for granted, like you said earlier, it's a huge deal. It's really given me new things to appreciate about the same old rooms and the same old places that I've been in for years.
Yeah. That's great. Well, of course, at Red Rocks here today, Your wife is on the bill.
She
and her band, they're on the bill, and she's in your band.
Yeah, she's working double duty.
Yeah, and so that means you get to travel as a family. And
yeah, that's really nice. Yeah. She leaves out after this show to go do some of her own shows, and you know, I'm happy about it, but it also makes me sad because we like spending time together, you know, and the baby will stay with me while Amanda's out doing her shows because it's safer on the bus with us. And
well, that's cool. And,
yeah.
And congratulations on all your success,
Thank
the Grammy
you.
Awards, the Americana Awards, number one records, headlining Red Rocks, and so on, and your
Thank
family.
You.
I'm really happy that you stopped by. And,
Me
and
too.
One
Thank
of these
you.
Days, we'll hopefully get you to come check out our own digs in downtown Boulder, our little solar-powered
like to do that.
E-Town Hall.
That sounds cool.
Thank you so much. Once again, Jason Isbell. We'll get back to the stage and hear some more music.
But it breaks my heart. I drop a dozen cheap roses in my shopping cart. Made it out to the truck without breaking down. I guess everybody knows you in a speed trap town. It's a Thursday night, but there's a high school game. I'll sneak a bottle up the bleachers and forget my name. These 5A bastards run a shallow cross. It's a boy's last dream and a man's first law. And it never did occur to me to leave till tonight when there's no one to ask if I'm alright. Sleep until I'm straight enough to drive, then decide if there's anything that can't be left behind. The doctor said that he wouldn't make it a year. But the holidays are over and he's still here. How long can they keep you in the ICU? See the veins through the skin like a faded tattoo. He was a tough state trooper till a decade back, when that girl that wasn't mama caused his heart attack. He didn't care about us when he was walking around, just pulling women over in a speed trap town. And it never did occur.
Thank you.
I slept a couple hours in the pickup truck. Drank a cup of coffee by an Indian man, 1,000 miles away from that speed trap town. 1,000 miles away from that speed trap town.
Thank you.
That's Jason Isbell and the 400 Unit. Derry DeBorja, Jimbo Hart, Amanda Shires, Chad Gamble, and Sadler Vaden. They will all be back to play some more music later on in the show.
Your visit to E-Town is made possible in part by Silk, the charter sponsor of Change the Course. The program was co-created with National Geographic to restore water in critically water-stressed ecosystems. You can learn more about Silk's commitment to the environment and to plant-based nutrition at silk.com. And by our diverse family of NPR affiliates, community stations, college and commercial stations, as well as our international stations and podcast subscribers worldwide. You're listening to E-Town.
I'm Nick Forster. You're listening to E-Town. We are live at Red Rocks this week with Jason Isbell and his band. They will be back to play some more music before long. But right now, I want to tell you about our next guest. Amanda Shires grew up in Texas. One of her first professional gigs, starting when she was about 15 years old, was playing with the original Texas Playboys, playing fiddle with the surviving members of Bob Wills' legendary Western swing band. She eventually moved to Nashville and began performing and recording, writing under her own name. She is, as you may have heard, a member of Jason Isbell's band and is, in fact, also married to Jason. But their careers are really pretty separate. They tour with their own bands and so on. They split the responsibilities of taking care of their daughter. But Amanda is a really talented singer and fiddle player, and we're so happy to have her join us this week. Once again, live at Red Rocks, please welcome, along with her band, Amanda Shires.
The spirit.
could level them all. You have it in you, and it's enough to see you rolling over you like waves. Just above your collar, like it had something to show me, as if I wasn't already noticing your eyes a shade of wonder, like if thunder had a color, it could have been. If I could get a little closer and walk away breathing, it might have been cheating. Exactly is the lie. Too early to admit it. I wanted you for Maria in the alley. You laughed and spilled your whiskey. There's some I can't remember. A talented bartender. And lay out in the cheap seats. The stars stared unblinking. Get a little closer and walk away breathing. It might have been cheating. Where exactly is the lie? Too early to admit it. I wanted you for mine.
That's Amanda Shires and her band Live at Red Rocks. Let's go backstage now and visit with Amanda. Amanda Shires, welcome back to E-Town.
So good to be back.
It must be interesting being on tour as a family, playing with your own band here today at Red Rocks and playing in your husband Jason Isbell's band.
Mm-hmm.
Your career in music started long before that in Texas when you were playing fiddle with the Texas Playboys. I mean, that's kind of a momentous way to get started.
I didn't know in the middle of all that because I was 15, and to me, they were just playing music that I loved. It was like traveling around with a bunch of granddads. It was beautiful, and we all loved the same music, and it was safe, and it was a good place to learn professionalism and joy in music.
And growing up in West Texas, was your family a musical family and way into that kind of music?
No, my dad was in the oil business until it crashed out majorly in the 80s, and then he started a wholesale nursery, bedding plants and flowers and trees and all that kind of stuff. And my mom did a lot of jobs and then found herself in nursing school. And after I finished college, she was a doctor.
Well, it's funny because I just imagined that playing with, even though Bob Wills is long gone, but playing with the Texas Playboys would be such an iconic gig that for any young fiddle player, that would be sort of like a thing that your family would just go crazy for because it's so prestigious. But
my family wasn't like on my dad's side. They were not supposed to do anything for enjoyment. You know, I don't know if it was their Church of God upbringing or whatever, but there wasn't any music allowed there.
Wow.
So it was really all about working and pulling your weight.
Wow. So you and Jason share that Church of God background, at least in his case, part of the
That's
time.
That's a lot of what I think, you know, we have a lot in common in that way. You know, both of our mothers had us very young and we both come from similar family situations.
Yeah. And so when you got to Nashville, how long did it take you to find your community there?
It took me a long time to find my community because people are moving to Nashville by the droves, you know, right now. So it's easy. But I think then it was like Americana was becoming a thing or had just become a thing. And there were still like 3 or 4 restaurants and now there's 12.
Right.
But it seems like, I don't know, something in the water. Now it's easier to find everybody, you know, technology and things.
With social media.
Mm-hmm.
You're pretty active on social media, as it turns out.
I try to be. Yeah. I like it. Yeah.
Does it make you feel like you're a public person more than you would otherwise? Like you're sharing little moments of your life and you know, Mercy's second birthday and things like that.
I think the whole point of music is connection. And I like to connect with people. I know it's not a true connection as you would like playing a show or something, but I like to share. But I also think that I do it because I want to make sure that my fans and my audience know what kind of person is I am now rather than find out later. Mm-hmm. I do it in a way to keep the people so there's no subterfuge or something.
You're
you
keeping
know?
It honest.
Yeah.
So
if you don't believe in what I believe in, then you can go and unfollow.
Yeah.
And just don't even waste your time.
Right.
We both don't have to, you know.
I think it's so interesting because we live in that kind of a time where the issues are coming to us. These challenges are coming to us, whether it's the current political climate or climate change or whatever it is that's around us.
Mm. And it's our jobs, you know, to bring awareness to others because it's obvious our education system's failing us. So if we can just be friends with each other and do our best at listening, I think we'd be doing a lot better.
Mm-hmm. In case you're just tuning in, you're listening to E-Town here with Amanda Shires. You and your husband, Jason Isbell, have done some co-writing.
Yeah.
Do you guys write songs in a similar manner?
Nope. He writes very quickly, and I write very slowly. I think it's because I see pictures, and then I try to make what I mean out of those pictures. And I think for him, he's a linear thinker, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's some weird form of synesthesia, maybe. I'm not sure. But like even if I try to describe a book, I'll see the images of the book and then I'll start describing it. And he thinks more, I don't know what the word is for that, but I'd like to know it if any of y'all E-Town listeners can tell me. But no, he's a quick writer and I take forever. And that's just how it is.
You take longer to write a song.
Yep.
Well, and you just got your master's in poetry.
Mm-hmm.
So is that something you've done a lot also? Because I think of those as really kind of two different disciplines, although they're completely related.
They are completely different disciplines for sure. A lot of songwriters like to fancy themselves poets, and one can inform the other definitely. And I think knowing more about words never hurt anybody.
We live in, you know, we're based in Boulder, Colorado, which is also home to Naropa University, which has the Allen Ginsberg and Ann Waldman founded the Jack Kerouac School of Disembodied Poetics. So it's
perfect. There's a lot of poetry
centered activity going on around there. Well, thanks so much for stopping by and congratulations on so many good things happening in your world. And it's great to have you here in Colorado and playing on stage at Red Rocks.
It's a wonderful thing to be here. It's an amazing and spiritual place for sure.
It is a special place. Mm-hmm. Well, let's get back to music with more from Amanda Shires here on E-Town.
Zigzagged and leaned like stepping out of a gravitron and still moving, holding you, holding on to me like the sidewalk was a tightrope or high wire, and we were wasted. Flicker strobe and don't fall down. We were floating through double stacked. I remember that. Thank you. exactly which of the floorboards grow, and how the AC exhales when it kicks off. So I've been losing sleep. I swear I heard the lilies bending, blooming leaves.
Amanda Shires from Nashville, Tennessee, along with her band, David Guy on the bass, Jerry Pentecost on the drums, and Zach Setchfield on guitar. The record is called My Piece of Land, out on Silver Knife Records. Amanda Shires.
This portion of E-Town is made possible by the Bohemian Foundation, building stronger communities through the Bohemian qualities of creativity and imagination. On the web at bohemianfoundation.org. And by the way, we'd love to hear what our listeners think about E-Town. Maybe you love the Achievement Award, or you're crazy about the artist interviews. You can head to the homepage of our website, etown.org, and find a brief survey. It only takes a few minutes, but it would be a big help. Thank you. You're listening to E-Town.
I'm Nick Forster. I'd like to say hello to our listeners who are hearing E-Town on stations like WUTK in Knoxville, Tennessee, on KDTR Trail 103.3 in Missoula, Montana, and on WUMB, Boston, Massachusetts. Thanks for tuning in. As always, if you'd like more information about any of our guests, you'd like to find out how to get tickets to one of our live tapings, or just get more information about E-Town, all that is available online at etown.org. You can also get the smartphone app from the App Store and hear all kinds of shows anytime you want. Meanwhile, we are back live at Red Rocks Amphitheater here in Morrison, Colorado. We're going to wrap up this show with some more great music from one of America's best songwriters from Nashville, Tennessee. Please welcome back, along with his band, the 400 Unit, Jason Isbell.
Who are you Thank you all so much for sticking around. We got time for one more.
I'm Nick Forster. I'd like to thank all our guests here at Red Rocks. This week, of course, Jason Isbell and his band, the 400 Unit, Amanda Shires and her band. Thanks so much for being a part of this very special performance. We'll see you next week right here in E-Town.
Not the long flowing dress that you're in, or the light coming off of your skin, the fragile heart you protected for so long, or the mercy in your sense of right and wrong. It's not your hands searching slow in the dark, or your nails leaving love's watermark. Not the way you taught me off the roof. Your questions like directions to the truth. It's knowing that this can't go on forever. Likely one of us will have to spend some days alone. Maybe we'll get 40 years together. But one day I'll be gone. One day you'll be gone. We were vampires and death was a joke. We'd go out on the sidewalk and smoke, laugh at all the lovers and their plans. I wouldn't feel the need to hold your hand. Maybe time running out is a gift. I'll work hard till the end of my shift. Find, and hope it isn't me who's left behind. Knowing that this can't go on forever. Likely one of us will have to spend some days alone. Maybe we'll get 40 years together. But one day I'll be gone. One day you'll be gone.
E-Town's produced by a donor-supported nonprofit organization. To make an Achievement Award nomination or comment on the show in general, feel free to visit our website, etown.org, or contact us through Twitter or our two Facebook pages. Of E-Town is is made possible by our family of sponsors, this station, and listeners like you.
Knowing that this can't go on forever, likely one of us will have to spend some days alone. Maybe we'll get 40 years together, but one day I'll be gone.
Thank you so much. Thank you, thank you. That's a special night for us.
This is a production of the E-Town Radio Network.